from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Better way to put a smile on a president's face of an organization than to go on the road and beat the best team in the league. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened with Garth Lagerwey, who sits here and joins us at the training grounds, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Garth, good to have you on and certainly face-to-face. He joins us, guys, on a biweekly basis throughout the course of the season. And I do want to start there because it was such a positive. Most Atlanta United fans, we were dreading it. Like, oh, here we go. Let's, you know, because of the way the team had been playing. And I think, you know, you and everybody in the organization would understand that. But what happened the other night? Explain to us what you saw and what transpired.
Sure. Look, it's funny, man, how you look at it externally versus internally. Internally, there was no expectations on us. Messi hadn't lost at home ever since he joined MLS. So, you know, there wasn't this, like, crushing pressure of, you know, it was hey, we're going to try playing with five defenders instead of four. You know, so we got a little bit extra protection there in the back because they want to come down the middle at you. Right. But we're gonna block up that basic stuff, and then we're going to go. We're going to play. And, like, look, as much as we struggled, and I want to acknowledge, we have struggled. 9-9 without winning, four losses in a row at home, never lost more than four in a season. Like, it's a real thing. But the underlying numbers aren't terrible. They're not, you know, down in the gutter where you're like, oh, man, there's no hope here. A lot of this is just a matter of self-belief. And you go out and you show that you can do that against the Miami. You score the goals we scored. Importantly for me, like, Saba himself had been underperforming his expected goals and hit two bangers, right? So now he's right about level. But the last goal, the third goal, that was the team goal. Right, because that was a press that we did together, and Thiago does it, and he sets up Caleb, and he gets the ball back, and then we get a ball, and Jamal Tiari comes in and scores it. And it's significant because Jamal's now got four goals for us.
Right.
So you said, hey, man, the guy wasn't necessarily the lockdown starter before the season. This guy's now contributing regularly. The work rate was awesome down there. The belief of the guys, and if you watch them, because the suite down there in Miami, it's right next to the corner flag. So when we scored the goal, the third goal, all those guys came over and joined the guys who were warming up on the sidelines right there together, and you could feel the vibe of the team come up and be like, we're not going to fold. Because remember, it was 2-0, and we've given up goals right after we scored, and you're like, oh, man, here we go again.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then you went down, and you battled, and you got that goal, and you're like, you could just feel the tension come out of the group, and it was awesome. And then we dominated the rest of the game. So, like, psychologically, again, I don't want to oversell this. I'm not in a psychics or anything like that, but it felt like that was the moment. That was the inflection point. You know, hopefully we turn this thing around.
Because that's the question when we were coming up here. You know, we talked about it earlier in the week. When we talked to Garth Lagerwey, the El Jefe for Atlanta United, is did the message get stale, which happens across all platforms, all sports, when things aren't going well. The Braves are kind of going through it right now. But so I guess they believe in Pineda. It's just a matter of executing.
Yeah, look, it's a matter of collective self-belief. Sports are sports. And if you believe you're going to go out there and you're going to do it, I mean, how do you guys make it to pro sports? It's an irrational self-belief. The odds are 1 in 10,000 people make it, right? Like, right. You are not as good as you think you are, almost by definition. It's because you believe in yourself. If our guys believe in themselves, we do have a talented group. We built the offense last summer. You guys heard me say this. We built the defense this summer. If you look at the defensive numbers, our structure is way better. We have a good foundation now to build upon. You saw how good Gregerson was in this game. When he's been healthy, he's been one of the best defenders in the league for me. Williams has been solid. Now we just got to go out. We got to score. And scoring tends to be these underlying metrics. We're like, if you create the chances, if you get in the touches in the penalty box, if you're getting guys crossing the ball, then eventually you'll score. And it felt like the dam broke in that game. And that's what we got to build on, though, to be clear, right. On Sunday against Sunday. Charlotte. Right. And we're going to have 60,000 people cheering us on, hopefully going nuts, you know, saying, let's go prove this is what we really are.
Well, and that's the thing. Garth Lagerwey joining us. Garth, I said the thing that I took away from that match the other night, because, you know, I get a text message, we're winning, and I turned it on, right? Okay? real talk. Right. And I'm like, watching the match, and I'm like, this is what it can be. But it hasn't been that all season. So for me, like, knowing this club, Mike and I have followed it from the jump.
We've March was so compelling, yeah. So exciting.
So yeah. We're like, we know when we have our designated players playing, guys are healthy, Yorgos comes off the bench. I'm like, this is what it can be, but it hasn't been that. So that's kind of what I took from the match the other night. And now, to your point, what happened Sunday is huge, because I don't think we can't walk into this match and be like, we just went to Miami, look what we did. Who gives a damn? Like, we got to go get this now,
yep.
Right?
Yep, yeah, and look, go back one or two more results, right? And I know not a lot of folks follow the Open Cup, but we played at Charleston two games before this. We went to penalty kicks, played 120 minutes. Josh Cohen saved a couple at the end, and yeah. We win. And I'm telling you, there were guys dancing afterwards saying, finally, you know, like the monkey's off, starting to come off the back. Now, that's not an MLS team. That's not an MLS game. But we got to win in a crucial do-or-die situation. And we've started to incrementally, you know, and so now I think we showed that then against Miami, that some of that belief is back. And again, we got to do it Sunday, because we, you know, if all you do is throw all your emotion at that Wednesday game because you're playing against Messi, you know, Messi, everybody takes their best shot against Messi in Miami, right? But now, what are we really? So can we come out Sunday and be like, we know we can do this. We know right. We can win that sudden death game. We know we can beat the best team in the league. We can beat Charlotte in front of 60,000. Our record, I think, with more than 40,000 in the building, it's something yeah. real, real good.
It
I don't
is.
Know if we've ever lost at home.
Right.
I don't want to jinx anything, but like it's
a full house, right?
Like the guys have fun. The energy's there, right? And like you saw in that game, Thiago Almada was going against Messi, right? The apprentice and the master were going after each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like that was inspiring when you talk about it. Was the game fun to watch?
It was.
Heck yeah, it was fun. To watch, because the ball was moving and we were going and we were balling, and that's what you got to see.
It is Garth Lagerwey, guys, team president. We're live at Atlanta United's training center. As the team, the media, by the way, a match was really impressive. We had a bicycle kick. Tiffany, by the way, Tiff won the MVP of the match.
I told you she was out here trying to just break people off. I told you when we started the broadcast, yeah. She was intentionally going after people today, Mike.
Yeah, and then we also had 92.9 on 92.9 Violence. More on that coming up. Garth, the thing about, we mentioned March, because every day I'd come in the radio on Monday, go, oh my God, it was so exciting. That's, and I know you get sick and tired as we talked about this a few months back. Yeah, it's a different team. You know, 2018 and 2017, that's a different thing. But building on that, you just mentioned Almada. Is this something where he amped it up for Messi, or has the league figured him out? It seems like they always seem to like put three, it seems like five guys on Almada. Is that what's caused some of our problems?
Yeah, look, with any team, any sport, any game, who's our best player? Who's our best guy on the ball? It's Almada, right? So who are guys going to try to take away? Almada, right? But some of the solution there is, it's not just Thiago solving it, it's how do you make your teammates better? It's the Michael Jordan problem, right? It's the Michael didn't win anything until he figured out how to make his teammates better,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Right? And Thiago is still a young man, and there are times when he tries to do everything himself.
Too much.
Yeah, yeah. And so the good news is, it's not a lack of effort. It's too much effort, right? And he's coming back all the way in the team and getting the ball on the top of the penalty area, and then he's got to dribble 60 yards. Like, what worked in that game was Thiago was higher up the field. He got the ball in attacking positions. He was able to do that because he trusted Dax McCarty and Mayumba in particular to hold the fort, so to speak. And we had those three center backs behind him, and that allowed him to play a little bit higher up. And you see how good he is when he gets that high up the field and we get him in those dangerous areas. So totally normal. Look, I think Charlotte is going to come in again
and
play five defenders. And they're going to sit. They're going to dare us to break them down, because that's what's worked the last four times, right? This ain't rocket science.
Park the bus.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, all we do is, again, believe in yourself, consistently create chances, get Thiago high up the field, and then get our guys on the ball in the box, and we're going to score some goals.
Garth, I got to ask you, I'd be remiss if I didn't. As we've been going through this, I don't know how much you listen, but for us, we've gotten a lot from our listeners about we need a change at manager. And I'm wondering, and having covered a lot of general managers in my career, some guys are quick to pull the trigger. Other guys wait it out and say, look, I'm going to see where this goes. Was that thought ever in your head as we were going through these struggles, right? Because I don't want to take away from what we just did the other night. But we're still, you know, in 12th place in the Eastern Conference. Was that something that you thought about, something the organization thought about, as far as maybe we do need to do something different?
Look, you have to think about it. You have to be prepared, right? And you don't want that outcome, but, you know, to claim that you haven't thought about it, I mean, you have to think about it. At some point, most seasons, you have to think about it. What I would say, though, is the data around firing coaches midseason isn't awesome. It does happen sometimes. Signing players midseason, some of that data, you know, then you can lift the team, but oftentimes changing the coach doesn't always help that much. What I would say is, look, philosophically, I'm probably a slower trigger than most. If you just look at my career, we're all biased about what's happened to us, right? I had Jason Kreis for 8 years in Salt Lake. I had Brian Schmetzer for 8 years in Seattle. And, like, look, I've for whatever reason, I've had some success, made the playoffs 15 out of 16 seasons. I haven't had to change managers a lot. And, look, my philosophy, if anything, is it's probably about 80% talent and 20% coaching. So if you're going to change to 20%, don't be wrong. Sometimes you got to go to that. You got to help.
Right.
But, you know, part of our evaluation, like last year, was we got to get this roster management back in order, right? And they kind of – went, you know, we talked about 17, 18, 19, because I think the team was very good 17, 18, 19, right? But then they went for it again in 2020, and then the pandemic happened, and then we changed coaches three different times, and it just slowly accumulated. And so when I got in, I clearly was kind of said, like, look, stop. We start over again now. Mm-hmm. We take all the pain we can now, and we are more optimal this year, but honestly, we will not be fully optimized from a contract standpoint until next year. So part of that then is, you know, last year I would have told you flat out unfair to evaluate the coach because we never had stability or structure in a way that I thought we were able to consistently win. We do have that now, to be clear. We have made that step forward in terms of our roster build, so our expectations are higher than last year. And look, we publicly stated our goals, right? Finish top four in the East, advance out of the East Cup, win a playoff series. Like, and we do it on purpose. So you guys hear them, so we hear them.
Right.
And that stuff doesn't change.
Right.
And so, like, as you struggle in the season, it's just a math problem. Okay, so what's the fourth place team got? How many points per game do we have to go to get up to that spot? And once that number gets over 2 points per game, it's borderline impossible to play better than 2 points per game. The Supporters Shield winners are almost always 2 points per game, 68 points in a 34-game season. So if your hole gets past 2 points per game, okay, that's going to become a heavy lift at some point, and then that's when you start looking at it. Now, keep in mind, you can still make the playoffs. You know, nine teams make the playoffs. Top eight teams host at least one game, right? And then, so can you get there the other way? Because you got three goals, and that's intentional again. We're not locked into. We got to hit all three of them. We got to hit at least one of them. So if that top four becomes hard, all right, well, let's shoot for fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth. Then we get in, and if we get in on a run with some confidence, now maybe you can go deep in the playoffs. Because that's what we want. Look, ultimately, all this is informed by we want to double our fan base in the next 5 years. We got this unprecedented run of soccer games, right? We got Copa America this summer,
World
Argentina
Cup
coming
up,
June 20.
Right.
Yeah. We're gonna bid right now. We're in negotiations with FIFA about this Club World Cup. I know nobody knows what that is, but it's literally the champions from all the leagues around the world playing in a once every 4 years competition. That's going to be awesome if we host it. And then you have the World Cup. So we are going to have, and we have the potential to host something called the Nations League Final, which is the Mexico-U.S. CONCACAF rivalry and stuff like that. So we got some really cool stuff potentially going to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, starting with Messi in Argentina on June 20. Mm. Get your tickets while they're left. And then the United States men playing here on the 27th,
That's right.
And we think this is going to broaden the awareness of soccer. We started with She Believes Cup with the women's team here earlier this year. We're going to do more of that stuff. So all that raises, hopefully, awareness around soccer. Now we improve our product, and now hopefully that rising tide lifts all the boats, and now we come out the other side of this thing trying to grow our business a significant way.
That's a great plan, right, by the way. I don't know if everybody has been aware. Why would they be?
Yeah, but didn't know.
That plan of the big picture and where we're trying to go, and more importantly, Mike, he's the first – guy we've heard break it down from a mathematical standpoint.
Yeah, nobody told like us. Nobody told us there's going to be math here. So I
think you guys can handle two and one, right?
I mean, that's just like no, I got kicked out of FSU. But also, I mean, I know you're not going to use injuries as an excuse, but we do love what we see with Yorgos. But you know, keeping him on the field. You mentioned getting Gregerson back because that helps the back. I mean, you know, the defenders have been kind of a patchwork at times. Yep. So that's also adds to it.
Yeah, it is. And look, we started our little conversation here about self-belief, right?
Yes.
And so can those little absences, can they pick at some of that self-belief? Sure. But that's what it comes down to, this core idea of do we think we're good or not? Because if we do, now you miss a guy, the next guy steps up, right? And to be fair, like in that back line, Noah Cobb, Ephraim Morales, they've been pretty decent, actually, in filling in. Now, do you want those guys at 18, 19 years old to start 30 games? No. But if you say from a team build perspective, for 18, 19 years old, they can play a role for us. So, is that hard in the short term? Yes. But in the long term, now you get Williams or Brown and Gregerson all healthy, and you have those kids who can fill in when you need to during, like, now all of a sudden you may have a better team long term despite those early struggles.
Great stuff. Garth, we appreciate you. Let's get one this weekend. I'm glad you're laying all this out because I got to tell you, and I'm sure you know, but Atlanta United fans, 17s are like, what the hell is going on?
You got to use
this. What is going on?
Got to use this Miami win as a springboard.
Yeah.
That's what's got to happen.
100%. And to be clear, so are we. We knew there was a ceiling on last year, right?
All right.
But I'm telling you, we addressed the problems that we all agreed we had. We put it out there in the field. And to your point, we started again. The first five, six games, we looked great. We were flying. And then we hit this trough, and now we got to pull out a trough, and we got to start flying again.
All right. Garth Lagerwey, guys, president of Atlanta United. Again, match on Sunday. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live at the training facility here. Media match is over. Guys are in here, ladies and gentlemen, eating, celebrating, talking about what they did out here. These stories will grow like fishing stories.
Hey, no fishing story for Tiffany. Tiffany was the rock star, the MVP.
Is there going to be a chance we can get her on to talk about her performance?
Let's talk to her people. Talk to her people.
We got to talk to her people?
Yes.
All right. Garth, thank you. On the weekend, we're coming back, guys. It's Dukes and Bell.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.